next Sunday we see each other will be in the Christmas season, and we will continue to celebrate this wonderful progression toward the birth of Christ. And we're glad you're here with us this morning. We've got several announcements. Let me just prevent a whole lot of text and questions asking why. We did not move the lectern. If you notice that the pulpit has moved, they moved it. But, you know, a lot of us grew up in churches that had what is called a split chancel anyway. How many of you are familiar? So just twist your head a little bit and you'll be fine. So a couple announcements before we get into our worship. Just want to let you know for this coming week, we do have a Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. That will be the 24th, of course. This Wednesday, the men are meeting for the men's group. The women are not meeting. And we are having Bible study this Thursday. So the only thing changed during the week will be the women are not meeting, and then we will be adding the Christmas Eve service next Saturday. And then, of course, we'll just have normal worship service on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So we would invite you to attend as much of that as you can. Also, we have gifts that are goodie bags that are from Judy and David, but I think Judy and Samantha assembled them, but when they're gracious, they gave credit to David along the way. So the bag says, Christmas blessings, Judy and David, and they want each one of you to have them, and there's a tub of them out there. Thank you all for doing that, and thank you, David, for putting up with my teaching. It's in love. Any other announcements? I think Kelly had one.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that from the board that we have met at budget. Actually, we're going to exceed our receipts that we anticipated. So, blessings to all, and appreciate all you've done.
Amen. Amen. God is faithful. And I want to let you know on Christmas Eve, as we always do, we will take up an offering on Christmas Eve. But all of that we take in on Christmas Eve goes to help local need. And we have two identified this year that we will be sending that money to. Any other announcements? All right, any prayer requests or praises that anyone has? Anything that Sue?
My sister's coming home today, so that's
good. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she's doing much better. Thanks.
So let's pray. We praise God for things going well for Sue's sister, Margaret, and talked to Glenn Harvey yesterday. He's doing well. Let's continue to keep Glenn in our prayers as well. Any others? Yes, Kathy.
I just want to thank everyone for all your prayers. My surgery went fantastic, and I am now off appointments with doctors, just follow up for the next year. So I'm a happy puppy.
That's great. We're glad. I love your spirit when we were there having prayer. Before surgery on Friday, I said, are you sure you'll be able to be there to light the Advent candles? And she said, we'll be there. And she is. So praise God for how well things have gone for you, Kathy. Any other prayer requests? Martha.
I would like to say a praise for the concert that we attended in this church. Friday night?
Yes, ma'am. It was the Emmanuel Quartet, so if you know anything of Southern gospel quartets like the Florida Boys or the Cathedrals, it's just really dynamic music, and they were good, weren't they? It was a blessing. It was a blessing. So thank you for lifting that up. Tony, did I see your hand?
I'd like to say a prayer for Tony's brother, Teddy.
We'll keep Teddy. Let them know we're praying. Keep me posted. Anyone else? Dave.
Helen knows always.
Okay. Let's continue to keep Helen in prayer. Also, in talking with Dave this morning, it's really been up and down for B, and today is a down, very down day, so she's in a lot of pain. And she beseeched your prayers and wanted to thank you for the prayers that you've given. Anyone else? Joyce, huh?
Jeannie migraine.
Let's keep Jeannie in our prayers. She has a migraine.
Yes, ma'am. I have a praise request.
Okay.
Praise. My friend Connie's husband is doing better. He's scheduled to come home next week, and they're going to set up a room for him downstairs. He broke his crushed his pelvic area and femur wrapped in the pelvic apron and crushed a wrist and broke his nose in the fall off a ladder. So he's doing much better, much better. We're all grateful for that. And yesterday I got to see my children, well, my son and his family, and so delighted to be able to be down there in Raleigh to see him. And we had a good Wreath Across America visitation yesterday. I have three praises for that.
Well, we give praise for that, for reconciliation and families. And also just for the Wreaths Across America that happened in so many communities. And what a fitting tribute. You know, we're extremely patriotic in this church. And we also remember the families that many will be alone this year because of different things involving service. So keep them in prayer. On a positive note, most of us know this now, and that's why they're out of town, but Webb and Carrie's nephew, and I guess Tom's nephew as well, is a new Marine. So Colin Griffin is a Marine now, and they all celebrated that Friday, and we just give praise for that. Any other items? Robert.
I want to get the news that thank God for the all the prayer y'all gave. Heather is doing a little bit better, and she's on medication now. She will be back towards Lynchburg Monday. She's at Leedsburg up in Virginia. So thank y'all very much.
And then she'll be going on to Hallmark, which Hallmark. Is outside of Richmond?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's continue to keep Heather in our prayers. Anyone else? And let's pray for those that are traveling over this holiday season. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you ask us to come into your presence. You open the door and sling open wide your arms and invite all those who are weary and heavy laden to come and to find rest, to be comforted and strengthened. The care you give to us is not given begrudgingly or out of a sense of obligation, but it is your great pleasure to take care of your children. Forgive us of those times that we have seen you as a hard taskmaster who makes demands and seeks to crush those who are struggling. May we have a biblical and proper picture of God, and that is of one whose compassion is so great that he would send his only son to die and receive the wrath so that we receive the forgiveness and love. And we thank you for that. We pray that you'd be with all these many praises and prayer requests that have been mentioned. We know that you cry with those that cry and laugh with those that laugh, and you are completely sympathetic to all our needs. So we bring them to you. We ask that you would be with B. May she continue to be strengthened. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen Margaret. Continue to be with Keith, and we thank you for the good progress that's being made with him. We pray that you'll continue to be with Glenn and with Helen. We thank you for their numbers, or her numbers that are getting much better. We thank you for how well things went with Kathy, and pray that you'll continue to bless her as she and Warner are such a blessing to us. And we thank you for your watch care over all of us. We pray that you'd be with Jeannie today with her migraine. We pray that you'll bring comfort. We pray that you'd be with Tony's brother, Teddy, as he's walking with this dreaded disease that seems to affect so many families. Just comfort Teddy. And we pray that you would, even through your power, bring remission. And we just pray that you'll strengthen him. We pray that you'll be with Heather as she continues to be placed in a place that we pray will be a blessing to her, and just help her. We thank you for Colin and others that have been newly minted as Marines. We thank you for all those that have served our country. We thank you for a country that sets aside a day to show appreciation, not only for the men and women that serve, but for their families who equally are a part of service. And we also give you thanks for the reconciliation that was between Sherry and her son and grandchildren. We just thank you for that hope that greater unity can be restored. For we know you created it. We blur the picture. It was your intention at the beginning for us to have sweet fellowship with one another, and we blur the picture. So restore that which you created. We just thank you for all the blessings that we have. And now as we enter on this special day into worship, we look forward to meeting you and to hearing Jesus Christ and him alone. And we pray in his name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the insert, we'll call each to worship using Psalm 24. Then we'll have the lighting of the Advent wreath. And then we'll stand and sing hymn 179. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein.
For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep.
Who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is a fraud.
They shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and a just reward from the God of our salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory.
Isaiah said that the Lord spoke to the king and said, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, as high as heaven." But when the king refused, God would not be stopped. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel.
God wants us to know, even when we aren't sure ourselves. God wants us to experience God's presence, even when we think we can handle life on our own. God sends us signs of God's presence with us. All we need to do is keep our eyes open and look.
Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relationship with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
We light these candles, the candle of joyous hope, of proclaimed peace, of deep everlasting joy, and today of presence that speaks of love, as a sign that no matter our circumstances, we are now not alone.
Thank you. First reading comes from Isaiah 7, 10 through 17. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol and high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little to you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." Thus ends the first reading.
Children, and as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from Romans 1, 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus ends the second reading.
Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I'm half tempted to change my sermon, but I won't. And several have asked, and I appreciate those who labor with our quote-unquote candles. And if you come to the candlelight service, we'll have plastic or battery-powered. But one day many years ago in Seventh-day Adventist Church, which we shared the building with, a Boy Scout troop had a project, and the keeper of the flame was not as careful as they should have been, and the entire church building burned down. So there is an absolute prohibition of open flame. So thank you for those of you who labor through this, but the meaning is the same. Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, give us ears to hear your word only. Help me to understand that mine are immaterial only to the point of pointing to you. May your Holy Spirit do that, preparing our hearts to hear and my lips to be restrained as I speak only the words that would honor you. We would see Jesus and him alone, and we pray in his name. Amen. Sometimes we don't even have the faith to pray, do we? Have you ever been there where you know all the right things? You hear them from well-meaning people who speak words that are correct, but they're heard as just sort of meaningless platitudes and rah-rah speeches. But we can become, if we're honest, even on this joyous of times, we can become overwhelmed with life and with loss and with work and with worry and with activities. The brokenness of life. And like in that song, Satisfied Mind, there's not enough money to buy back your health when you're old, or a friend that's grown lonely, or a heart that's grown cold, and we don't know what to do. We're faced with these things, and we hear people calling us to pray more and to believe more, and if we're honest, they're calling us to pray more and to believe more actually does nothing to alleviate our pain. It only increases the guilt we feel, because we are so overwhelmed and we're confused. Job would call these people that would call us to believe more in the face of the difficulties of life worthless physicians. And we see Ahaz today in our passage from Isaiah as the same thing. Without getting too much into the background, we can do that later in a private conversation if you'd like, because it's fascinating. But suffice it to say that Ahaz and the northern kingdom of Israel, they're in the path of about three different major forces coming through. He's truly surrounded all around, and other countries and kings are thinking about making deals with these powers, and Ahab refuses this, but it leaves him in a very vulnerable spot. Now, you've never been surrounded by three countries seeking to trample over you in their progress, but you know what it is to feel overwhelmed. You know what it is to feel pulled in every direction and confused. And in the midst of this, the prophet comes and tells Ahaz to make a sign, a sign as big as you want it to be. Ask God for anything. And Ahaz is where we often are. He's just not in a place where he even wants to ask for a sign. So he doesn't. But a sign is given to him anyway. In God's gracious sovereignty, he gives a sign. And he gives a sign that has, as most prophecies do in the Old Testament, an immediate prophecy and then an ultimate prophecy. The immediate prophecy is that a maiden, a young child, woman would have a child. We don't know if that's Ahaz's child. It could have been Isaiah's child. And the names of those children would be prophetic messages for that particular situation. But ultimately, that sign speaks to the reason we're here now. Ultimately, that comes to us in the Virgin Mary, who speaks a word for us. And I want to look at this because the truth of the matter is, the truth is that she speaks the word. We sang it today, Emmanuel. Isn't that a beautiful name? God with you. Is that a threat or a promise? Which one is it? It's a promise. It's also a threat. God with you. We read that God is watching you. And that could be, he's going to get you for that. Or he's going to support you in this. And the truth is, as Paul says, it's both a fragrance unto life and a fragrance unto death. It depends on how we proceed. And what I'm wanting to do today is to encourage us that when God seems most absent, God is really with us. We think that God is hidden. We think that God is not involved. It seems as if God is coming. He's coming in quite a ludicrous and silly way. And I want to remind us that the promise, when a promise is made, and you hear promises all the time, don't you? From politicians on both sides, from investment brokers, from friends, from mechanics. We always hear promises, and we hear promises so much. What are most of us, what is our response when we hear a promise? If you're like me, we've heard it so frequently, we're pretty cynical, aren't we? And you probably, whether it's spoken or not, when you hear a promise from anyone, your response is probably mine. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And that's the problem and the rub that comes for us for Christians, because God reveals himself in a way that can't be seen. He reveals himself in a way that's hidden. And we need to understand that a promise's validity, what makes a promise valid, is not the reasonableness of the promise. A virgin having a child? It's not the reasonableness of the promise. It's not the confirmation of the surroundings. We look around and we don't see the promise. The validity of a promise is only based on the veracity of the one making the promise. One of my favorite shows when I was in high school, and I just really wanted to be this guy, was a guy named, well, not the later incarnations, but the actor was Robert Blake, and he had this cool show called Beretta. And I love Beretta. And he had a saying all the time, when he said something, he said, you can take it to the bank. Brothers and sisters, what we encourage each other is, even though we can't see it, when God speaks, we can take it to the bank. I want you to turn with me to Luke. I want to look at two passages, and you probably don't need to turn because you know it by heart, in the Christmas story. And I want to show how it just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't look like what we would think. And Luke 2, you'll hear this many times in the next couple days and week. And after the birth of Jesus, pick up in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign of you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We have heard this so much that it fails to hit us the way it would have hit these shepherds. This is absolutely a ridiculous promise, isn't it? He comes to a group of rough shepherds who know the ways of the world, who are reasonable men, and they say, "Behold, I'm giving you a Savior." And the Savior's a baby. Brothers and sisters, if you send someone in to help me, I don't want you to send a baby. I want you to send Bruce Willis, or I want you to send the Terminator. I want you to send someone with power. A baby is going to save me? And I've got to wait 30 years for that baby to get around to even trying to reveal that his ministry? This baby that's wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, this baby who comes, as the prophet Micah would say, from a very questionable hometown. If you go back and read, Nazareth was sort of the stopping off point for soldiers. It was where movement between, it was just like the halfway point, much like Lynchburg is on the East Coast. And suffice it to say, the soldiers, when they would habitate for the evening, there were bars and other things for their habitation. And without being too indiscreet, an unwed pregnant woman in Nazareth wasn't a real oddity. It was quite common in Nazareth. It had a, probably like Vegas, it was would have probably been called Sin City in the time. And you're telling me that this particular unwed mother with no means from Nazareth is bearing the thing that you're asking me to give all of my life up for? To leave my flocks? To leave my source of income and go? I gotta tell you, it doesn't make sense. It reminds me of that wonderful movie, It's a Wonderful World, when George Bailey hears that a bumbling, inept, frail old man, Clarence, is his guardian angel. And in his despair, George says, "Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised." And to think that this Savior is coming from a baby. So why, as I wrap up, why does God work in such hidden ways? Why does God work in such ridiculous ways? Why doesn't he come as I would expect him to come? Why doesn't he do what I expect him to do? Why is he always late from my perspective? Why is he always using the wrong means to accomplish it from what I would deem appropriate? Well, turn back one chapter in Luke. Again, we go back to Jesus' mother who speaks of these things. And if you'll pick up with me in verse 31 of Luke 1. "And the angel said to Mary, 'And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Problem is, Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I've never known a man? What you've just told me is crazy, is ridiculous. It can't be. It's impossible. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. That's the key. See, God acts the way he does, I guess, for two reasons. One is to teach us to trust. See, if we could do it, if it made sense, we wouldn't need to believe. Let me ask you, not to identify, not to raise your hand, but just to think for a moment. Is there anything in your life right now that most people would say would be impossible? Let me tell you, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. The muscles of faith are only developed in the midst of doubt. If you have plenty of money in the bank, you don't need faith to know you're going to pay your bills. If you're having relations with multiple men, you don't need to worry that you're going to get pregnant. If you can figure it out on the horizontal, if it makes sense to you, it doesn't take faith. But to be given a promise that God will be with you in the midst of an impossible situation, it requires faith. And I think the reason he does is that when it happens that way, we know who gets the credit. And I could go around this room and circling around, whether it's from Helen to yesterday's reconciliation, these things couldn't happen by human activity. Nothing is impossible with God. So regardless of where you are, when God says, Emmanuel, I am with you, you can take it to the bank. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Bountiful God, we give our thanks to you, for you brought into being your glorious creation and crafted human life in your image. Your prophets promised that a virgin would conceive a son, the one in whom your truth would live, God with us. Through the voice of Mary, your Holy Spirit rejoiced. In the wonder of the child eternally begotten of the Father, through the lips of Joseph, you spoke the long-awaited name Emmanuel. A sword pierced their hearts when your son Jesus was crucified at the hands of sinners. but in his resurrection you make a new family of the redeemed, the restored, and the renewed. And so with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we lift our voices in joyful celebration as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Living God, as your Son was nourished by Mary's body, feed and nourish us, your body, with this holy meal of your very self, that we may grow into fullness of life, dwelling in you as your Spirit breathes through us. Send your Holy Spirit on us now, that we may be your one holy Catholic and apostolic body to nourish the life of your world. Send your Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Fearless God, who came in a dream to Joseph, dream through us anew today. Speak into our places of fear. Transcend and transform all that keeps us from living your dream. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Dream into life in this very place, a church renewed by the leading of your Spirit. Dream through our hands and feet your kingdom, where the hungry are filled with good things, the lowly lifted up, and the oppressed set free. Until that day when the life of heaven and earth shall be made one, and all your children gather in glory around you. Everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Throughout Scripture, and even in our midst, God speaks using very simple things, doesn't he? A word, water, juice, wine, bread. Aren't we grateful that God is not the God of the elaborate and the significant and the extraordinary? But that includes us. It includes confused husbands to be, and unwed mothers, and sinners alike. Simple, torn, flawed, ordinary people. That in the midst of that, he says, "I will come and be with you." And not only will he come and be with us through his grace and finished work, he says, "I invite you to come and receive me, the very body and blood that gives us life." So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive. And in receiving, find that the promise is true. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This gracious, beautiful table is spread. Let us keep the feast. Yes, we should.
Thank you.
Our gracious God, we thank you for the sufficiency of your grace. As we sing in that great hymn, you come to make your grace flow far as the stain is found. We thank you that your love for us is comprehensive and inexhaustible. We thank you that you come to us where we are, and your promise that you will be with us. We thank you for the goodness of your presence. And may we trust you because of all the impossibilities of this world. May we look to the God who is the only possible, the only certain answer to all things. We trust you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we pray in your name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship together, singing the final hymn. Peace, to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.